What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. This podcast is available at allthingscomedy.com. A bunch of great comedians have podcasts there. It's an amazing podcast hub. Bill Burr is there. Neil Brennan's there. Sam Tripoli's there. A ton of other comics, you name it. A lot of comics from the Comedy Store. This podcast is also available at SoundCloud, iTunes, World Football Daily, and you can get at me on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic, or you can see my posts on Instagram. Right now I'm on a tour with Tosh, Daniel Tosh. It's still called the Tosh Point Show Tour. We're hitting a bunch of colleges. I'm on the road for 3.5 weeks, and don't worry, I got somebody at my house. Nobody try anything. But yeah, I'm out here, been on the road. So this is why this podcast is late. I apologize. Gonna have to do it by myself. I'm gonna have to go solo again. I left town on Friday, and it's just been nonstop, just been going. Got a map here and a booklet with all the places that we've hit and all the places that we're gonna go. The first place we did on the Tosh Point Show Tour was Nebraska. We took a private jet. Yeah, I don't know if I'm bragging, but yeah, that's what we just did. That's, those are the facts, y'all. Took a private jet to Nebraska. We got on these tour buses. They're dope, rock star style. And they got beds in them. And everybody's got their own bunk. And yeah, man. And then we pulled up to the University of Nebraska, checked in some hotel, I think it was a Hyatt, and rested for the night. And then the next day we did a show. Then we got right back on the bus after the show, ate dinner on the bus as it drove to the next town. Next town was Missouri. And we did the University of Missouri the next day. That was a good show, really fun. Good crowd, thank you all. University of Illinois was next. We did the same thing, did the show. In Missouri, show was done around like, what, 10-ish. Jumped on the buses, ate dinner on the buses, talked, watched a little TV, slept, woke up in Illinois, and checked into the hotels. Maybe like, what time did we check into the hotel then? Probably like 2 a.m. in the morning, and boom, slept. Well, I barely slept. And it's just been nonstop. Then we did St. Louis University. That was last night. And right now, I'm in, no, then we did Indiana. And so the next show is right now. Last night we left Indiana. And that town has a great campus, by the way. I walked around the campus. It's amazing. It's like you're in a park and it has huge buildings in it. And it's just like a dream college. Have you ever dreamed of going to a college and you looked at the brochure? This campus matches the brochure. Just walked around it. It's a great college town. Students looking like students. Beautiful women everywhere. There were women in short shorts going to class. If I was a student in Indiana, a male student, I would get to class every day, even though I hate waking up in the mornings, because I wouldn't want to miss the ass show in class. I don't know if some girls were dressed for class or Coachella. I couldn't tell the difference, but that's the type of town it is. Everybody's just chilling, doing yoga, eating outside, bars, and a great campus. And so that was a great show. We did that in a theater. Where was the theater? I'll find the name of the theater that we performed in. So it's me, Todd Glass, Daniel Tosh, he's the host, does most of the time, it's his show, he's the drawer, Greg Hahn, and Eddie Gosling, stand-up comic, very funny, and the co-creator of the Tosh Point Show. And so, yeah, we're out here doing it. We got more than 2.5 weeks left. So, sorry if the podcasts are late, I got a great excuse. Normally I don't. Normally just lazy as shit. But this time, just grind it. So it's tough, you know. It's not tough. It's just not the usual flow. you know, just not the usual flow. So I watched the game this weekend from the hotel room after I checked in. Forgot what town I watched it in, but I watched it. It or them, the games. And so now I'm able to do the podcast. So I'm going to run through the premiership real quick because we got Champions League. And I guess we won't go with the biggest game. We'll just go down the list. So first game that I'm going to go through was the Arsenal game against Middlesbrough. And Arsenal won 2-1. And boy, did they need this win. And Alexis Sanchez, quality. Just a quality dude, man. Free kick, scores, beautiful goal. Just what the team needed. When he's down, you can bet Arsenal is going to be down. So Arsenal was lucky that he was up this game because they needed that. And Middlesbrough didn't take it, though. They came right back. They're at the bottom of the table. They're trying to claw their way out of the relegation zone. So they weren't trying to just give this to Arsenal. And they knew Arsenal came in kind of wounded. So they're like, we smell blood. Let's try to take advantage of that. And they fought. Gaston Ramirez, you know, a lot of good runs. And try to make some things happen. And the Negreira goal, great fucking goal. Fucking stunning. Amazing. Equaled the game. And it was 1-1 at that point. And then basically it was Ramsey assist to Ozil that put Arsenal back in the lead in the 71st minute. And Ozil needed to show up, hasn't scored in a minute, hasn't done much in a minute, been criticized a lot, and he needs to step up, and he just needs to step up. I just think the Arsenal system is an easy system for people to relax in, and I don't think they get chided or pushed when they relax. There's so many players on the Arsenal team that have so much skill. I just don't think Wenger has it to push. He doesn't have it in him to push the players on a daily, weekly, game-by-game basis anymore. Like, if you do good, you could kind of relax at Arsenal right now, it feels. I feel like another coach would do a great job with these players, like a more pushier coach, you know, a more motivating coach. I think Wenger's record of not winning the championship over the last few years is like a statement of who he is, like content guy. He's content. And his players play content. They don't play with the competitiveness that you need to just to win. And, you know, they win the games, most of the games they're supposed to win, and then they're just content with that. And I don't think Wenger has that edge in him anymore to push harder. And so they're cool. Like, nobody really, like, Ozil's been threatened and criticized by the media for a few months now. And if he's not injured, he starts. So, yeah, like, the only people with motivation at Arsenal are probably the younger players coming through that want to start, and they're not starting. But, you know, there's a few problems there. There's injuries in some players, and there's content within a lot of them. Like, Theo Walcott plays content at times. Coquelin, I'm not going to say he's content, but he's just not the real deal. He's not that strong defensive midfielder that they thought he was. He's not. You know who the real strong defensive midfielder is? The real Brazilian strong defensive midfielder is? Casemiro from Real Madrid. That's who the deal is. This French, Coquelin, tough guy. Not happening, bro. You know, your tough guys from France are Conte. You're nowhere near that. He didn't start. by the way. But I'm just saying that. So Arsenal won. They're still sixth. Doesn't matter. They're behind Man U. Thank God. We need them behind us, and we need somebody else behind us to climb up the table. But Arsenal, Middlesbrough, you're in trouble. That's all I got to say. Go to the next set of games, and there's Man U versus Chelsea. Now, this was not only a motherfucking game, Man U versus Chelsea. Man U, I'm going to read this score. It's been about 4 days, and I still can't believe this score. Man United 2, Chelsea 0, a big fat 0. And it wasn't, and this score could have been worse in Man U's favor. Like, Man U could have had 4. Like, it was, before the game started, we felt Chelsea was going to win. Before the game started, Chelsea thought they were going to win. Then Mourinho tells everybody his lineup. And then you definitely thought Chelsea was going to win. And Chelsea definitely thought they were going to win. And everybody was criticizing the lineup. Young, and then he's the captain. No Ibrahimovic. And but I think what everybody forgets is that Mourinho, he's weird, man. He's a weird dude. You can't figure him out. And I also think he got lucky this game too. But one thing he can do, he can make bad players or average players or not the players who are not the high-level Man U players that Man U are used to. He can make those guys play. Like, he can make a Fellaini play. He can make, like, Rojo last year wasn't shit. He's making him play. You know, Herrera last year wasn't shit. He makes him play. You know, Young has always kind of been under par, but he makes him play. You know, he made him the captain psychologically, that boosted him, and he played. You know, he sticks with Fellaini, and today, this weekend, Fellaini played. He played out of his mind. He played way better than Pogba. Pogba was, like, shook this week. He was scared out there, you know. And Rashford is always going to play. I don't think you need to motivate Rashford. Rashford's just too young to worry about shit. Just put the ball out there and put him out there. And it was a great plan. Shadow Hazard with Herrera. And Herrera did a fucking amazing job. Not only did he shut Hazard down, he had an assist for Rashford's goal. And he scored the winning, you know, the insurance point. So the insurance goal to insure the points. And it was a dominating performance. We could have had more goals. We were all over them. I couldn't believe that was really Chelsea in blue. Conte, I don't know who was more frozen. I don't know if it was Conte frozen on the sideline or his team watching us just take the ball from his players. We just wanted it more. There was more desire out there. Young played his ass off. It was just, there's so many heroes in this game. Herrera, you know, Rojo and Bailey. No shots on goal. Let me look at these stats. I think Chelsea, second leading scoring team in the league, no shots on goal. 0. It's fucking crazy. Who would think that? Who would think that Chelsea would have no shots on goal? You would think they'd have all the shots on goal. They didn't have any. That's so bananas. De Gea didn't have to do shit. If you said at the beginning of this game, De Gea, you ain't gonna have to do shit, he'd be like, are you crazy? Do you know football? Like, everybody got this wrong. Everybody's and but happily so. This is the one thing I'd like to get wrong this week, and I'm fine with it. And we just balled them. We just balled the shit out of them. It was a proud performance. Team looked good. I just want us to be able to do this as a Man U fan. Like, more this effort. We had this effort earlier in the year, and we got a lot of ties out of it. We got some wins. And in the weeks, later on weeks, we haven't had this effort. It's ballsy to not play Mkhitaryan. Just ballsy. It's ballsy to not play Zlatan. I'm glad there was a Fasu Mensu sighting. Got in there in the 90th minute, played 3 minutes. Want to see him more. But, you know, Mourinho will always give you a reason to hire him because of shit like this. He'll do some shit like this. And everybody was against it, and he looks like a genius. But I don't think he was that sure that this was going to work. You know, I don't think he... I don't know. But the players played as if... I was going to say, I don't think he thought they could win this game either, but the players played like he told them they could. So it's just something in the interview that I saw that made me think he didn't know this was going to work like this. But he put a plan together, and the players followed through with it, and I'm happy with the results. Man U 2, Chelsea 0, and I can't say that scoreline enough. Next game, Liverpool, West Brom. Liverpool, again, I think this is two in a row. I think they won last week. And Firmino got his goal this week. Another one scored last week, I think. And Liverpool trying to keep their place in the top four, marching on. They're just trying to win right now, stay in the top four, and maybe wait for a stumble from Spurs, which doesn't look possible or look like it's going to happen, or a stumble from Chelsea, which I think this will be the only and last and final stumble from Chelsea this entire season. This was it. And I hope so, because if Man U's not going to win the title, I sure as hell don't want Spurs to win the title. Hell no. And this is blasphemy. I'd rather Liverpool win the title than Spurs. Fuck Spurs. So, yeah, there's not much to say about this. You know, Pulis made this a Pulis-style game. They, he has competent players that go, they follow his plan, and they make the game West Brom game. Like, if you took the stripes off the West Brom jerseys and you put a team like Liverpool or a top five team against West Brom, and you're watching how the team plays, the top five team, you'll be like, that's West Brom, isn't it? And, you know, that's how they look out there. They slow you down. The game didn't get excited until, like the end was really fucking exciting. Like, the game put me to sleep and then woke me up like a cappuccino shot at the end of the game. Like, the end of the game was exciting. Like, West Brom was really trying to score. They committed everything forward, including their goalkeeper, and then Liverpool had two chances to score at the end of the game. And sub Moreno had a great chance to score. And, you know, there was no goalkeeper in the goal. And he went for it himself from about halfway, half line, screaming teammates on either side of him. Ill-advised shot. That shot is only advised if it goes in. Doesn't go in, ill-advised, pass the ball. But Liverpool won and stick around at third in the table. Go to the other games. Yeah, and Southampton versus Man City. Man City, you know, did their thing. Not only did they do their thing, they brought back their El Capitan, Vincent Kompany. And he played the game. Not only did he score the first goal of the game, didn't look injured at the end of the game. So, you know, you might see him in another game. He's something that they need, a Kompany at full strength. That's something that Man City is sorely missing. Their best defender is a guy who consistently gets injured. That's the horror of the Man City back four for the last few seasons. Like, shitty defenders, and their best one who could play and start anywhere is consistently injured. Leroy Sané, again, man, devastating youth, man. He is going to be amazing. The shit that he's doing now is only going to get better. Yeah, man, this guy, great eye. Great eye who picked this guy. And it's great to see him in the Premiership. He's going to be doing big things. And Sergio Aguero, keep scoring them goals, man. Keep scoring them goals. You know why? Because Pep doesn't care. He's still going to bench you for Jesus when Jesus comes back. This is a goddamn shame. But, you know, just keep doing you. And hopefully you'll get sold to somebody really who appreciates you, who appreciates actual goals. Because you're doing your thing despite what's been done to you. You just play ball. And you're a cool dude for that. I appreciate you for that. You're not like, listen, man, look how many goals I scored for you. Why you treat me like this? You just keep doing your thing. Like, you believe in yourself, and you know if you just do you, that you'll get the opportunities. And you believed when they took you out the lineup for Jesus that something told me when I looked at you, like, yeah, I'll be back in that lineup. And he got injured, and you were. So, you know, the power of thought, man. So Man City handled their business like a team in the top four should. And they are, you know, they got the points that they needed, and they're ahead of Man U in the tables. And congratulations, Vincent Kompany. That goal celebration took more energy than the goal. Great header, but Jesus Christ, celebrated the shit out of that goal. And you could see all the emotions just from all the injuries and not being able to play, the frustration of the whole entire frustration of this team this season. And congrats to you. De Bruyne, this amazing assist, just balling his ass off. Amazing. This team has such good attacking, man. It's such good attacking and the complete opposite defense. Like, I don't know a team that's this great at attacking that has such a bad defense. Like, you can argue maybe a little bit Liverpool sometimes, but it's not even their defenders, it's Liverpool's system more. I think Liverpool's defenders aren't as bad as this Man City defenders. Like you could lose all four of Man City's defenders this season, next season, and you could be like, whoever's there could be better. It's night and day in the back in front of that team. All right, let's move on. I don't want to fucking stroke Man City. It's the last thing a Man U fan would want to do. Crystal Palace versus Leicester. This is two teams on the rise, and they need and want points, you know? And this is a perfect battle. You know, two teams that's just, in the last few weeks, have done some amazing things, have gone on winning streaks, and now they're head-to-head in the Premiership. And, of course, they give you a nice, thrilling battle. You know, it's like a 2-2. Crystal Palace 2, Leicester City 2, and we got goals and a hoof. So I thought when Hoof scored in the 6th minute that Leicester was going to win this game, because when Hoof or a defender or a random midfielder would score for Leicester last season, it would be the goal that they would need to win the game. So this was like a typical, like, it started off like a typical Leicester City win from last season with Hoof scoring, like that looping header. And you're like, all right, they got this. And then Vardy scored a fucking amazing goal. Great pass from Riyad Mahrez. And then it's just Vardy one-on-one with a defender, which is a terror to any defender in the Premiership, because this dude will handle you. He has speed and just a cutthroat edge when it comes to you, the defender, being between him, the net, and the goalkeeper. Like, Like, if you average the amount of opportunities, if you do an average on the amount of opportunities that Vardy gets with him and one defender between him and the goal, he probably has scored 50% of those or maybe more, which is high. Like, he is a killer. Like, you don't want to be alone on the streets if you're a defender at nighttime between a goal with Vardy, the ball. You're going to get your throat slit. And that's how he rolls. And then Leicester went up 2-0. You're like, all right, this is a Leicester win. But Crystal Palace, man. Allardyce, I guess he's coaching now. Guess he got back in the coaching game. Finally, at some point, after having this job, he's like, all right, I got to coach this team. And, you know, Johan Kabay, great goal. And Christian Benteke, another good goal. Andres Townsend, great assist. And Crystal Palace came back in this. And I think the Leicester defense was a little shabby on the second one. Like, you know, or on the first one, actually. Like, they just laid back a little bit. There could have been more intensity down there. But, you know, you didn't have it, and Crystal Palace made you pay, and you only got 1 point out of this. So, yeah, man. Decent game. Decent game. And now we're going to Everton versus Burnley. And talk about teams that are on a streak. They're on a mission. They're on their way up. They're getting 3 points on a consistent basis every week. You know, they're playing like the Spurs, who are out of the top five. You know, they're the Spurs of seventh place. Let me see if they are in seventh place. I think Everton is higher than seventh. Everton is seventh, right? But yeah, like, if you want like consistent play, Everton has been doing their thing. And Mark ain't here, but you have been shitting on Jagielka, and he scored again. This dude keeps shitting on him. It's a good tactic. It's great, great motivation. He responds to your negativity with goals. So this is a great team thing you two got going on here, Mark. Mark Hayes, your boy, Jagielka, scored again. And Everton wins this game 3-1 against Burnley, with the help of an own goal from Burnley. And Lukaku, again, powerful fucking goal, man. Just another guy. You, if you're a defender, you don't want to be caught on the street alone with this dude. He'll overpower you. He'll turn you. He'll run by you. And his shot has improved. It's piercing. And he'll laser the back of a net out. So, Everton, again, 3-1, Burnley. Burnley got a goal. Sam Vokes, good goal. Penalty. But not enough. Everton's on a mission. Koeman is coaching. I want Koeman to stay. He's going to get offers, but I want him to stay. I want to see, even though it's going to be a threat to Man U, it'd be great to see. Like, listen, you have a kid who Davies, who grew up a fan and dedicated himself to the team. He signed a contract, right? Tom Davies signed a contract, a 5-year contract. I know, Lukaku, you're going to get offers. Even troublemaker Ross Barkley is going to get offers. But if Koeman, if you stay, just stay to see what this could be. Just stay. Just stick around. I'm just curious. Like, everybody's going to get offers, but follow the lead of Tom Davies. He signed for 5 years. He's the youngest person. And just see what will happen if everybody follows the lead of this kid and see where this Everton team goes. It would be amazing to see this shit unfold. So I would just hope everybody would stick around. It should. See what happened. All right. Gonna move on. Stoke versus Hull. Stoke, man. They win 3-1. They just show up sometimes. You know, they just show up sometimes. Not all the time. They just show up. When they show up, they show up. And they win 3-1. They put Hull away. Artanovic, great goal. Peter Crouch, old man, good goal. And Shaqiri. It's like, you pissed me off. What a fucking amazing goal, Shaqiri. Where is this all the time? Where does it disappear? Where do you disappear to sometimes? And how are you not play? Like, you know, in Southampton, Stoke has a lot of attacking options. Too many that they mix them up and don't use them all the time. You know? They got Artanovic, Berahino, Shaqiri. Waters is out there. They got Crouch. They got a lot of attacking for like a mid-level table team. And they're just a Jekyll and Hyde team, you know? Like, I feel like they should be higher in the table. Let's see exactly where they're at. They're 11th. All right, so they're where they should be. They're 11th. It's just some of the losses kind of cloud my mind. Hull, I mean, Jesus Christ, Hull. It's not that bad. You're in 17th, one above the relegation zone. But, yeah, you're the most likely to swap places with Swansea. You keep this shit up. And Swansea's right below you. They're in the relegation zone. So, all right. Enough about that. They don't care. Why should I? Next game, Watford versus Swansea. Pretty good goal, Watford. Kapu. You fucking manhandled that Swansea defender. Took a shot. First of all, you manhandled him to get the first shot. Goalkeeper saved it. Then you jumped on the rebound. Great, powerful, manhandling, embarrassing the defender goal. Jesus Christ, ragdoll style. But Watford, man, they got 3 points this week. And poor Swansea. Let's go to, let's see who's next. Spurs versus Bournemouth. And fuck. Bournemouth. Well, let's not start with Bournemouth. Let's just start with Spurs. These guys, I said it last week and I meant it. They are a bunch of professionals. Right now, in the last few weeks, the most professional bunch of dudes, team playing style type of dudes. Like when you watch Spurs play, they got this. You could just they give off this thing that you know. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, you ever just see a team and know their team, and everybody in the team knows each other and what their moves are and what each other likes. And how to, I could literally see their chemistry when they play. I can see the chemistry on the bench. Like, I can see what would be the moves and the players to replace. Like, it's just solid back to front. I still think there's like a degree of something missing, but Jesus Christ, man. A bunch of professionals. I hate to say it, but they're just a bunch of professionals, man. You know? They are. And Harry Kane, like, his assist in the 19th minute to Son is like shit. Like, that's the shit that Dele Alli does. You're doing flicks now to Kane for assists? Then you score, you manhandle somebody and score in the 48th? And then Son, I always like Son. If you go back 2 years of podcast, you hear me raving about Son. And Son is just doing his thing. And Janssen scores an open field goal, not a penalty this time. So don't let him get warmed up. Maybe he's the thing that's missing. He's the degree. And Bournemouth, Jesus, 4-0. And, you know, I got to give Bournemouth credit, man. Like, they open themselves up. They go to games to win. They don't give a fuck who you are. But some of these teams, man, you do that against them, they'll let you know who they are. And Spurs definitely did that. Let me see if there's anything to check out in the stats of this game. 14 shots on target by Spurs. 14 shots on target by Spurs. It's a lot. 24 shots. Motherfuckers is accurate. Bournemouth had one shot on target. Only team that had less shots on targets this week was the team at the top of the table, Chelsea, against my team, Man U. All right. So, Premier League, let me do what's up this week. Who's playing who in this upcoming week in the Premiership? No, I'll do the tables first. So, Chelsea is number one with 75 points. 4 points behind them, breathing down their neck, a bunch of professional trackers and killers, Spurs. They are second with 72 points. Liverpool, trying to keep pace. They're 4 points behind Spurs. And hey, I don't think this is the Spurs of last year. I don't think they're going to crumble. I think they actually might complete this and end the season second this time. Because I don't think Chelsea's going to lose anything else or lose enough to blow this. But who knows? But Liverpool, keep trailing Spurs. Something might happen here, but I doubt it. I didn't think it was going to happen last year when they fell to third, but at the end of the season, but who knows? So Liverpool is third, 66 points. Man City is fourth with 64 points. Man United is fifth with 60 points. Everybody is 4 points behind each other in the top six. It's hilarious. Everybody's 4 points behind each other. Like Tottenham is 4 points behind Chelsea. Liverpool is 5 points, my bad, behind Spurs. And Man City is 2 points. My math is terrible. Now it's getting better. 2 points behind Liverpool. And then Man U is 4 points behind Man City. And then Arsenal is 3 points behind us. And Man U and Arsenal have a game in hand each. Problem with Liverpool at 66 points is that they've played more games than everybody else. So they can get caught by Man City. If Man City gets itself together. Like, Liverpool has played more games than Chelsea and Spurs, and Chelsea and Spurs are ahead of them in the table. And Liverpool's played more games than Man City, who has one game in hand. And Man U and Arsenal have two games in hand compared to the 33 games that Liverpool has played. So that Liverpool third place thing is shaky too. All right. Everton is seventh. They're also professionals the last few weeks. They did have a loss, but for the most part, they've been professionals. And they got 33 points. They have 57 points. They're tied with Arsenal. They have 33 games played. So Arsenal has games in hand. So they could pull away from Everton. West Brom. They're eighth with 44 points. Southampton, they're ninth with 40 points. And again, Southampton, they got two games in hand. So West Brom, watch your back. You've played 33 games. Watford, they're 10th with 40 points. Stoke are 11th with 39 points. Leicester's 12th with 37 points. West Ham is 13th with 37 points. Burnley is 14th with 36 points. Crystal Palace is 15th with 35 points. Bournemouth is 16th with 35 points. And Hull is 17th with 30 points. Swansea is 18th with 28 points. Now this is relegation zone. Middlesbrough is 19th with 24 points. Sunderland 20th with 21 points. And there's a loud noise outside. I mean, Kentucky. I don't know what. I'm right by the river. There's riverboats, actual riverboats. I can see them from the hotel room. Bananas. I'm in the future, but in the past at the same time. Let's go see who's playing who next week. Let's see this. Let me go back in this. Fixtures. And I've messed this up before, so let me not mess this up. So on Saturday, April 22nd, Bournemouth versus Middlesbrough. I'm going to give this to Bournemouth. Put Middlesbrough out of their misery. Dowling had a good game. Had a great cross for the goal for Middlesbrough this week. So maybe, you know, this is a great audition for him, for a team to buy him. So he might not have to sink back down to the championship. And who else has some good games? So Everton versus West Ham, I'll be watching that this week for sure. Should be a really good game. I'm going to put my money on Everton for this one, even though they're on the road to West Ham. Like, they've been playing so good. I only think teams above the table, above them in the table, can beat them. But everybody could get beat, but I'm just going to go for them this week. Man U versus Burnley on Sunday. Going Man U. Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace has been playing people tough. And Crystal Palace has had to play a lot of good teams lately and have gotten good results or something, you know. So this is not going to be a good game for Liverpool at home at Anfield. This is going to be tricky. Crystal Palace keeps doing what they're doing with Sahar and Bentaki and Townsend. You know, the players that they bought to play for the team are finally playing for the team. And I don't know what happened under Pardew, but now Allardyce has got these guys going and doing what they're supposed to be doing. So this is not going to be easy, Liverpool. It's not going to be easy. And then it's just games all week next week. There's going to be Chelsea, Southampton, because Chelsea's playing FA Cup midweek. Here goes another riverboat. I don't know if you could hear it. I can hear it. So Chelsea versus Southampton. Chelsea, Southampton's middle of the table. They could be a problem, but Chelsea, if you want to be champions, you got to handle this. And they're at home. You got them at home. So on Tuesday, April 25th, Chelsea versus Southampton. Say Chelsea can do this. And there's Wednesday games, Arsenal versus Leicester. And this is definitely not a good, or this is not an easy game for Arsenal. Leicester could take this, or they could tie them, which I hope that's at least they do. So it's at the Emirates. So that's a tough fucking game. It's a lot of tough fucking games, man. Then Middlesbrough, who plays on Saturday against Bournemouth, have to play on Wednesday, a few days later, against, the only positive thing about this is that they're playing Sunderland. So, and they're playing Sunderland, Sunderland has to come there. So Middlesbrough, you want to get these 3 points or not? Or Sunderland, this is one of the easiest games for you, and it's a team that's just above you in the tables. Or who knows where they'll be after they play on the weekend. So, Sunderland. This is a good game for two shitty teams. Like, two shitty teams get to play a shitty team and try to get maximum points. And then there's, on Wednesday, a few days later, you know, after Spurs plays in the FA Cup, they play Crystal Palace. And Crystal Palace, after they play on the weekend, on a Wednesday, have to play Spurs, and It's at Palace, and this ain't an easy game for Spurs. So, you know, come on, Palace. Let's do this. Fuck these Spurs up. And then Thursday, this game's all week, Man U versus Man City at the Etihad. And we just had a big win, and we'll be coming off a game against Burnley. So let's hope Mourinho has another plan for Man City, and Man U can take this. Let's hope this game means as much to him as the Chelsea game did, and Mourinho comes up with a plan and puts the time, the thought, and effort in to come up with a plan to beat Pep. He's going to love this coaching battle. He's going to want to prove himself better than Pep at all costs. So I think he'll put the time into it. But he's got, you know, Man U has games midweek this week against the Dutch team for the Europa League. Then we got to play this weekend. And then on Thursday, a few days later, we just got games. So I'm going to put my... I don't even want to jinx this. I'm just rooting for Man U. So that's what's coming up next week. And I skipped some games, but that's the deal. We got Champions League. What a day was yesterday. So this is Wednesday. I'm going to put this up right after I record it. Let's go. It's not that it's the lesser game, but it's just not the marquee matchup of the two games that were played yesterday. But Leicester versus Atletico is very interesting. It's pretty much two evenly matched team in a series. Atletico won the first one, 1-0 on a penalty in Atletico. Shouldn't have been a penalty. Was fouled outside the box. He fell in, got the penalty. They, you know, what is Atletico going to do? They're going to take the penalty, right? They took the penalty, they scored, and they won the game. Then they come back to Leicester. And if anybody has a team to win a chance to win at home, it's Leicester. They're scrappy and they fight hard. And they went down 1-0 to Atletico at home. And then Vardy did his thing, scored, evened it up, but that's it. That's where it stopped. That's where it stayed. You know, Atletico wins the series based on that extra goal. And they go through to the next round of the Champions League. And joining them is Real Madrid. And this was a crazy fucking game. Now, Real Madrid surprisingly went up to Bayern Munich last week and won 2-1. They scored two goals at Bayern. That was unbelievable to me. You know, because Bayern is just so solid. It's just so, they're so fucking solid. But you know, Ronaldo scored both goals. Ronaldo, who has been, again, media, you keep picking the best guys in football to criticize. And right after you criticize them, they step up and shove your criticism back down your throat. And so, you know, Ronaldo last week scored 2. Hey, he hasn't scored in a while. The guy who has 90-something goals, you're like criticizing him. 90-something goals in the Champions League. You know, Ronaldo's not doing so great. I think he's falling off. Relax. Like, your journalism is falling off way more than he is. And nobody's criticizing your journalism. Just relax. Ronaldo stepped up, scored the 2 goals in Bayern against a fucking Bayern team. That's not an easy team. That defense is solid. There's no holes on paper or on the field. But, you know, and they're up against your coach that knows you. Ancelotti knows that Real Madrid team. He coached them to a Champions League final win. So that's another layer of amazingness that's added to it. So then, now they come back home to the Bernabeu, Bayern versus Real Madrid. And I know they're at the Bernabeu, but the way Bayern had an opening attack that Robin could have scored on, didn't go in. After that, Real Madrid put these motherfuckers to the sword. They carved them up and ran through them. I like the way Benzema played. Isco was a fucking G. That's the Isco when Real Madrid first bought him. That's the dude we wanted to see. He was calm, cool, and collected, made Modric-like plays, little, strong out there. And when they took him out the game, I applauded. You know, I think they should have just left him in. But, you know, Zidane just has, people want to play for Zidane. I don't know if that's a quality of coaching when, like, people wanted to play for Ferguson. They wanted to, he's like the dad you want to impress. And Zidane is like a young dad that people who play for him, no matter if they've won shit before, they want to, like, hey, father, I'm going to do this for you. Like, there's people whose careers are, like, stalled or haven't grown a lot at Real Madrid that are growing now because Zidane is the coach. And even, you know, it's the one guy who could talk to Ronaldo or pull him out of a game or not get, or you know, or make him listen to him, you know? And Ronaldo had a hat trick. There's just so many places to go in this game. Just the way Real Madrid, like, Bayern had their chances, but Real Madrid really, like, played. It looked like at points that Real Madrid was playing a mid-table La Liga team. That's what Bayern Munich looked like. With all those great names, with the Vidals, the Ribberys, the Robins, you know, the Thiagos, the Mullers, the Podolskis, it's unbelievable what they did to them. I said Podolski, but I mean, what's his face? The Polish dude. Can't remember his name right now. Been traveling. But Lewandowski. Yeah, they balled him. They balled him. This scoreline is 4-2, but it could have been way more. And I know at some point Vidal got a second yellow. And it wasn't really, the referee could have overlooked that. And they're saying that the referee changed the game. But I think that yellow, the second one, was for, Vidal got it because he had an early yellow. And then there was a play before where he fouled a Madrid player and he begged his way out of it. And the referee's like, all right, I'm not going to give you a card for that. But this one, even though it wasn't a foul, is the card for the foul before. And he's ejected for the game. And Real Madrid game goes overtime because of the Sergio Ramos own goal. And, you know, they redeemed this whole thing for him. And Ronaldo, the guy who the critics just you can't stop criticizing Messi. Stop criticizing. When are critics going to learn? Like, first of all, when you're playing football, as great as you are, there are going to be two games sometimes or three when you don't score. But there's going to be the games when you score three goals to make up for those games because you're a great goal scorer, and that's how football flows. So when somebody doesn't score in a few games, just shut the fuck up. It's the natural order and flow of football. It's like you can't wait to say this guy is done or that guy's done. Why? Why? Unbelievable. But yeah. And then today coming up in Champions League, there's Monaco versus Dortmund. So this is like a perfect matchup. And that's going to be great. And then Barcelona versus Juventus, which is the marquee joint. And this is going to be tough because Juventus won the first leg 3-0. But you would say, all right, so Juventus is going to go through. But no, I think Barcelona has Juventus just where they want them. They're going to PSG them, or are they not? We'll see. I still think Barca is better. And that's the thing. The problem with PSG is they won the way they won. And when they went on the road to Barca, they didn't play the game the way they won. They changed it up because they were protecting something. And if Juventus is going to beat Barcelona, don't make the PSG mistake. Win the way you want. Don't protect what you have, or Barca will take it. So that's my advice. I'm just going to watch it and enjoy it. So that's what I'm going to do. So, so that's the podcast. The soccer part, anyway. I'm going to throw out some of the places I'm going to be on this Tosh Point show tour coming up. And it's been a great tour, you know, so far. It's just fun. Everything's just there. It's just well organized. Tonight, doing Louisville, Kentucky. We'll be at the arena? I'm looking for this thing. To the KFC Yum Center? Is that where we're at? That's hilarious. I didn't know KFC sponsored the center. The KFC Yum Center. That is hilarious. I didn't know that's what we're going to be playing. All right. So I'm going to be playing in a place repped by chicken. All right. And then after that, we're going to be in Columbus, Ohio, the Ohio State. And we're going to be at the Schottenstein Center. That was a lot for me to say. I might have still pronounced it wrong, but I don't really care. Then we're going to Knoxville, Tennessee. And that will be, what date is that? That'll be on April 21st. We'll be at the Civic Coliseum. And then where else? I'll just give you till next week. Clemson, April 22nd. And that'll be the Little John Coliseum. Little John, I think that's a pizza joint. I'm vegan, so I don't fuck with pizza. Unless it's vegan made. And then we'll be Athens, Georgia. Be at the University of Georgia, and that's going to be the Classic Center. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Classic. We'll be there. So those are the dates upcoming this week on the Tosh Point Show Tour. You know, look on websites and stuff for tickets. I think Tosh has a site for sure. He's businesslike. He gets his shit done. I'll be there. I don't have the dates up on my thing. But I have photos on Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic, and I'll tweet some stuff. And then on my Facebook, Ian Edwards Comedian Facebook, I'll have shit. Love y'all. Thanks for listening. Sorry this is late again. And hopefully the next one will be on time, like Sunday, Monday. But enjoy the games today. It's going to be incredible. All right, y'all. Stay up.